Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. It's the usual crew today. We got Brett and we got Kyle. And actually, this is a bonus episode since we've already released one episode this week, but kind of making up for last week since we didn't release anything last week. So you get two episodes this week. But we also thought it was probably a good idea to release a second one, considering we had an extra special family meeting after church on Sunday that was talking about the future of the economic system in our country. And we thought it would be good to kind of discuss that a little bit more. And for those of you that weren't able to be there, kind of give some encouragement to watch the video that was, we did release it as a church earlier this week.
Yeah, Wednesday morning, right?
Yes, Wednesday morning. I don't know what day it is. So Wednesday morning, yes, we released if you didn't receive it, check your spam or your junk email. It's in the email inbox.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of get some clarity on that too, as a church, we did that financial meeting for our church family. So we are not broadcasting it on our regular YouTube channel as a public thing. So it's a private link that we sent out to our normal email list. Because, yeah, it was more of a family talk, and we didn't want it out on our regular channel in that form. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
You looked at me like, oh, shoot, did I just not say that right?
No, I thought you were going to keep going.
Oh. You can finish it for me?
So for this episode, we wanted to kind of, I guess, give a little bit of where we're at with some of the things that were talked about in that family meeting, and just to help everyone process it a little bit more, because I know that for some people that I talked to, it was a little bit of an overwhelming amount of information that was given. So just to give another opportunity for us to talk about it, share about it, and kind of go a little bit deeper in a roundtable format as opposed to a lecture. Kyle.
Yes, of course. So I'm going to throw it to Brett first. I'll give you a second to answer, but you weren't involved in the planning for this meeting. Damon had some, but not like much direct, but you were consulted in some different ways.
So. Yeah, I was in charge of setting up the slides and they got all screwed up. So I was a little stressed out during the meeting.
But for you, Brett, like this, I know we've talked a little bit here just at lunch and different things. So I know you've had some dialogue with it, but I'm sure some of this was, this is stuff we haven't talked about, at least from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So how was it for you hearing maybe some of the different parts of how we've got to where we are as a financial system? What are some of the implications? What does that mean? What were some of the emotions that came with sitting through that meeting?
Yeah. I had even asked you guys beforehand, like, what's even taking place at this meeting? Because I think there was a lot of kind of intrigue and mystery around it.
Well, especially when you title it the future economic crisis. Yeah. Or something
like that. Your mind wanders and it can go all kinds of places.
Sure.
I've heard bits and pieces of different parts of it here and there, and even have looked up certain things on my own. But as a whole, never really had a conversation or kind of an arena to talk through it as one whole dialogue. Mm-hmm. I think there were parts that I could see that were overwhelming, parts that were, it's just like, I guess it depends where you are, on the spectrum of knowing how much or how much you pay attention to things, or even if you understood, kind of like the financial history of our country and things of that nature, where if you're going into it just completely blind, I could see where it's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And there's all these challenging thoughts or revelatory ideas, or even like, I don't even know what they're talking about type of feeling. Mm-hmm. But in general, I came away with it, well, one, thankful, because we have staff and Pastor Bear sharing his heart, what was on for the elders and why we're doing this. It does feel, there is a certain level of peace in knowing that the people that I walk with and the church that I go to, like, they want to look out for me. Mm. That it's not like, good luck with this. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like, that everybody else is fending for themselves on their own, but yeah. more of an idea of like, we want to just make people aware and we want to have the heart of being a family. And so looking out for each other. So at least at a baseline, I was like, okay, that's something I can take away. Even if, you know, the actual finance part of it makes you feel a little uneasy or mm-hmm. challenged in that way. It's like, well, okay, I'm not alone in it. Mm. And then I think, there was a couple of things that were brought up that are like, oh wow, that is interesting, and so
like what are like one or two of those?
I mean, I think one of the big things I heard, and you could hear a lot of reaction, is the reminder of people of like the central bank and how it's a private business,
yeah,
and private. So most people see it as, oh, that's part of like government or some type of official over somebody's overseeing it. That's more like, I guess you could say hopefully is in the best interests of the people. But mm-hmm. when you recognize that it's private business, it makes you a little uncertain about that mm-hmm. idea.
And that one can get kind of confusing because the central bank in the United States is called the Federal Reserve. So
yeah.
it makes it seem like it's a government
yeah.
body, but it's actually not.
Yeah. So that's where it's like, oh shoot, when you think about it, it can make you feel a little more, have a little more pause mm-hmm. about it. So that's one thing. And then, I mean, I think everybody knows everybody is probably aware of like, oh yeah, the US, like we're in debt. Cause that's all that a lot of the, you know, politicians, and it's a big talking point, mm-hmm. but to kind of, I think, really grasp the reality of it and what that kind of leads to, it's kind of like, oh yeah, this is not sustainable. Mm. So even if you feel like everything going digital or going away from the current system we're used to, you're kind of like, like they always talk about that or always say it's going to change. Mm. But then to kind of really understand the numbers of like, it's in the trillions, and each day, like the rate, interest rate on it, yeah. it's like, that's ridiculous. There's no way that we're going to catch up or even break even. Right. And so, I think that's a more even just logical, and even though the numbers are huge, a general principle of understanding like, yeah, this is probably not going to work in the long run. So I think there's a lot of things, but those two things are kind of come mm-hmm. to mind as big things where you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I could see.
Yeah, no, those are hard ones to wrap your head around. And I mean, just for a little bit more depth on, this is actually our third Federal Reserve, our third central bank. We had one early on in our country's history. The charter ran out and they didn't renew it, so we didn't have one again for a little while. And then they brought another one back. And then Andrew Jackson, that was one, when he became president, he ran on like, I'm going to get rid of it, because he saw like the corruption and the negative side of it. So he got rid of it, and then it came back. This one was 1913, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the one that we have right now. So about a little over 100 years old. But yeah, it's interesting to think like, oh, because we just grow up having it. So we mm-hmm. think that's just, we've always had it, and that's just what you do. And most developed countries have that type of system as well. And so it just seems like it's normal until you start looking into it a little bit more. And then, yeah, it's a private corporation. It has its own charter. And then it's like, there's a lot of like secrecy behind it. You can't get a lot of the information, or it's hard to find the information about some of the inner workings. So yeah, it does. It gives you pause, and I think rightfully so. But sometimes it just leaves you with more questions too. So mm-hmm. it's a little challenging. Do you have a thought, Damon?
I mean, for me, I just wanted to give a shout out to my mom, because I think growing up, and then especially coming into adulthood, she tried to get me to understand finances, and especially at the micro level, so personal finances. But I think having an understanding of my personal finances has helped me to understand some of these concepts that we're talking about. So even, you know, like when I first started thinking about getting a credit card and, you know, how do I manage my credit, right? And so she would tell me, like, if you get a credit card, make sure that you pay it off each month. Don't spend more than you have, because then if you get stuck making minimum payments, then you're going to be stuck in the cycle for a really long time. And I feel like that's helped me to understand where we are as a country right now, is that, you know, we've overspent as a country. We're in this huge debt, and now we're getting eaten alive by some of these interest payments because, you know, we're not able to pay it all back. And so, you know, we're getting what do we say? It was like in the billions each day. Yeah. In trying to pay off some of that debt. And so,
Pay it off. It's just actually just to manage it. Yeah.
Yes. Not to pay it off, but just to, that's what we owe.
Keep it going.
That's what we owe. Yeah. Right. And so having that understanding, in my personal finances has helped me to understand some of the, you know, reasons to be concerned about the direction of where our country is going financially too. But at the same time, it was really good, for my mom to be able to help me to think a little bit outside of the box too. So I remember one of the first things that she did after I graduated was she gave me the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, right? And a lot of it is, how do we think outside the box in terms of what our financial outlook is, and how do we handle our finances so that we're not just stuck in the rat race? And so I think a lot of those types of things have helped me to understand, you know, how to look at the financial landscape, you know, from a macro level. So understanding the micro level has helped me with the macro level too.
I just had a thought. I think it'd be good for, since some of our listeners there's probably some that haven't watched it or maybe are wondering if they should watch it, to give a little bit of setup for why the meeting happened. Because Barry did that at the beginning. He kind of shared his heart as the father, like the head of the household, so to speak, for our church family, and what that means. And then I know this part was really impactful for him recently, is reading through the passage in Ezekiel, is it 3? I don't remember where it is.
I don't remember the actual reference either.
But being like the watchman, if you see things coming, then you don't warn people, then their blood is on your hands. But if you warn them, hey, they have to deal with the consequences. And I know he felt that tension of, I don't know, it feels weird to talk to people about this topic, but I'm seeing these things and I'm alarmed for just our society, but that means that's partly for our church. And I thought he did a good job of sharing that. And then I think at the end, he kind of closed with, we also have to keep in mind that, you know, we got to prepare ourselves financially, prepare physically for things that could happen, but we got to prepare spiritually. Like, this aligns with prophecy. This aligns with a certain direction of what the Bible foretells. So we shouldn't be surprised, and we shouldn't stick our heads in the sand and say, I don't even want to deal with it. But how can we at least interact with it in a healthy way and prepare ourselves in those three areas? But that spiritual side is like, whoa, that has certain implications. And if we're seeing signs that we're heading towards this direction, then hey, I gotta have heightened awareness and heightened effort to strengthen my spiritual aspect.
I think as you're talking, Kyle, it just highlights to me, like, we need to take ownership of our life, right? Yeah. It's like our spiritual life, we need to take ownership of it, because something could happen, and are we ready? Are we prepared spiritually for something to happen? Are we prepared physically with, you know, if there's an earthquake, are we prepared, right? And in a similar sense, financially, are we prepared for something that could happen? And all of it just really comes down to, are you going to take ownership of, or are you just going to be passive and let everything come and not be prepared? And then it's like, uh-oh,
yeah,
when something does happen. So I think a lot of it's just, are we ready to take ownership of our life and the future? Because, you know, some of these things are being presented and it's up to us to take grasp of it, whether it's, you know, in our last episode talking about spiritual disciplines and how that's helped prepare Jason to deal with this difficult situation. You know, having some of those routines, having some of those spiritual disciplines, being able to sense from the Lord which ones are appropriate for the season that he's in, that has really helped him to be able to deal with it. But he had to actually take ownership and do it. You couldn't just be like, oh, well, it would be good if I did it and I'm just going to do something else and then get blindsided when some of these things happen, right? And so in a similar way, we, you know, Pastor Barry can share his heart. We can talk about all these things. But if we're just like, oh, that sounds interesting or that sounds scary, I don't want to deal with it, then we're not really taking ownership of that. And so I think it's really highlighted to me as you were talking, Kyle, just, you know, we hear these things. What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to, you know, let someone else do the research or say, oh, this was interesting. Maybe I need to actually look into this a little bit more. Am I actually prepared for what could happen? And if it doesn't happen, then at least I'm prepared for it.
Yeah. I want to hear Brett's comments, but I don't want the way I summarize Pastor Barry's stuff. I don't want that to be all of what he said, because there was a lot more depth to it. There's a lot more heart behind it. So I encourage, you know, if you weren't at the meeting, go watch the thing. If you didn't get the link for some reason, you can reach out to me or Damon directly. But yeah, he laid it out there, right, Brett?
Mm-hmm. I encourage everyone to watch it, and no matter where you're at, and by saying that it's overwhelming, it's not to discourage anyone. It's just a reality of if you aren't as familiar,
it's a lot.
There is a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think another takeaway or the importance of it is the elders and Pastor Barry were very honest, candid, and pretty clear about the meeting and just all the things that talked about. And it's not so that there's an expectation for anyone to have it all figured out or know all the quote unquote right answers right now. Mm-hmm. A big heart of it is like what you guys have said, just to echo it, like an awareness to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And it's, even if you have no idea about it, to start somewhere mm-hmm. with it, even if it's just doing more research, mm-hmm. even if it's taking a step back and taking a look at your finances, to incorporating the Lord more into your finances, into actually, putting your money, like, because they also were very clear about some people may not have, you know, the means to do certain things, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think at a minimum, it's to look at it through different lenses to make it a part of, being prepared. Mm-hmm. And so, there's not, with the overwhelming information, sometimes it can go like, oh shoot, I have to do all of this, or I have to have all of this done.
Yeah.
But that's also unrealistic. And so it's more about just kind of understanding, being aware, being able to look into certain things, having options, getting to hear from other people. And so wherever you're at on that spectrum of knowing or not, I think it was helpful in just, there's different avenues in which each person can find themselves mm-hmm. and then start to do something about it. And so, even the elders and Pastor Barry sharing, like some of them are, you know, they feel overwhelmed by it here and there too. And they're in the beginning stages, or they're still researching and trying to figure out what's best for them. And so it's not okay, we got it all figured out, now everybody has to get to this level.
Right.
It's more like, hey, we care for you. This is what we've seen. This is what we've researched. This is where our heart is. So we care for you. And so here it is. And so I appreciated the approach, because even amidst it being overwhelming, I still felt that, okay, these are things that I can do, or I can be part of or think about. And so, I hope it doesn't just turn people off right away and just be like, no, that's not for me. It's too much, right? Like, it is a lot, but everyone can find where they're at in it.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, because we didn't want people to be overwhelmed. And it was hard to do a meeting knowing that there's going to be people all over the spectrum of,
mm-hmm.
I don't know anything versus I know quite a bit, but I'm open to hearing to learning some new stuff. And I was asking a lot of people afterwards, what'd you think, and where were you coming into it? I had people say, I didn't know anything. This was a lot, but it was helpful. I had people like, well, I knew a fair amount, but this and this topic really helped me. Some that knew a lot and was like, yeah, no, it was good to hear different specifics that I still picked up some new things. So that's good. And then I think the other thing we don't want people to take away from this discussion, which will be ongoing, we're going to have more of this type of dialogue, is it turning into greed. It's not a, we see that there's opportunities in this shift in our economic structures and things like that. There's opportunities that we feel are kind of ripe for the picking, so to speak. But we don't want it to be from a place of greed and like, what else can I hoard and accumulate?
Because
I think Barry shared that at the end too. It's really about how can I prepare for my family and myself? But then as part of that, it's like, how about my church family, my community family? So it's like, yeah, obviously we have to take care of our families. And so like what you were alluding to, Brett, like not everybody has extra resources, but how can you prepare the best you can and then see how far that goes? But those that can prepare more and can actually have higher returns or higher gains, how can they use that to support those that don't have as much means? And that's really what we see in this shift. And that was really the heart behind Barry wanting to share this. Partly so people can prepare for themselves, so they're not like the carpet pulled out from under them. But his heart is really like that there's certain people in our church that are going to be like, okay, I have extra resources. I need to look into this stuff. And as the Lord leads them, like, I want to be a resource and I'm drawing a blank on the Bible.
Acts 2 church?
No, well, no, back earlier, Egypt. Joseph, having like that Goshen, like right, they prepared because the Lord gave him a dream to help Egypt be that place where, and it, actually his family survived because of that, you know. But like where we can see something where the Lord can use it to increase, I'll say wealth, but it's not just for wealth for dollars, but it's like then the Lord can use that for ways that can further his kingdom that wouldn't be possible if we didn't take advantage of it. So it's hard because it crosses the line a little bit of the secular greed model, so to speak, for lack of a better term. But that's not what we're promoting. That's not what we're trying to help people do. But I can see how it could be taken that way. So I just want to make sure people go at it. And even as you journey into it, check your heart and do it with other people, because it can have that gravitate, that pull towards like, okay, I want more. And you see dollar numbers and it's like, oh man, it's captivating.
When you, right before you said greed, I thought you were going to say fear.
Oh.
Because I think sometimes it's easy to hear some of these things that were talked about in the meeting and all of a sudden be like afraid, like, oh, they're coming to get us, or, oh, there's so much control, or, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, I think it could be easy to allow that spirit of fear to come in and to affect our actions and what we're doing. And I think really that's what this is. One of the reasons that we had this meeting is so that people don't go to that place of fear.
Yeah.
Because if we're prepared, then we don't need to be afraid. And so I think that's more the spirit that we wanted to come away with after this meeting, was one of feeling prepared or feeling like there's a curiosity to be prepared if we're not there already.
Amen. I'll share a little bit more personally for me on my journey. I saw this get highlighted to me, this meaning like the state of our financial system right before COVID. So I think it was like end of 2019 into early 2020. And I was like, this is just ridiculous. Like the amount of debt and the way it was increasing, the way, and then COVID like made it magnified 100% or 100 times when they were just printing money like crazy. And I was like, this is stupid. It's like stupid money, like monopoly money. Just throw some more out there. I'm like, this is not sustainable. This is gonna, not going to crash our system. Our system is already in the process of it's on this pathway where it can't help itself now. And so as I went through that, it brought up that stuff of fear, of panic, of overwhelm, like, what do I do? If even then, okay, how do I try to control this? Or there are so many different things. So I've been on it for several years, and it still comes at times where certain things happen in society, and especially more on the economic side, it can trigger that, okay, things are getting out of control, or what are you going to do about it? And the enemy is good at bringing that fear stuff into me. It's one of his weapons that he tries to use for me, against me. So I say that because I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't do this. It's just too hard. Mm. It's a journey. And so you can rely on people that have gone through it, and you can reach out, and you can reach out to me, and I try to share more specifics of my journey. But it's not like it just, you get it in your head and it's like piece of cake and no problem after that. It's a thing you have to walk out, and it's a challenge.
Yeah. I've had to wrestle with, just even the perspective on finances. You know, there were periods of time when, you know, whether is me looking to save up to get a car, or in preparation for a wedding and getting married, where I would find myself like looking at either my bank statements or credit cards like
yeah,
way too frequently. Almost like not trusting, or just like, okay, I need to make sure I'm hitting this, or I need to make sure that I'm saving this much, and I should. So it was almost like a checklist of like, am I reaching? And so in certain ways, it did grow me in responsibility, because for these bigger purchases, for things more, I was starting to think further down the line, it increased that awareness, that responsibility. But I recognize in the ways I was doing it, it was teetering on almost like an OCD level of control, and and feeling like it had to go a certain way. I recognized it, I would say, pretty early on in certain processes, and I could see how it can easily become a area of frustration, you know, in saving for a wedding with my fiance at the time, with Brittany, like it can cause tension. And so I was, you know, just wrestling with like, okay, this is not like a healthy way to go about it. And so I've had my own journey of trying to figure out what is healthy, because you still need to be responsible, right, and be a good steward.
Right.
But if it starts to kind of take over your heart and dictate and control your thoughts or how you act, you're going to have to wrestle with God if that's how he's calling you and wants you to be. And so me, especially being an anxious more type person and someone who considers himself a realist, some of that combination can lead to tempting unhealthy habits when it comes to finances. And so I think in that journey, because I've had to walk through that in different ways, it's allowed me to be more open and still feel overwhelmed, but also a little bit less pressure on myself, to have more faith in God being a provider. I think that's one thing that my wife and I have really prayed into and trust and continue to lift up to the Lord, that like he's a provider, and it doesn't always look or seem like the ways that maybe we expect or would want it. And so even when it comes to finances, him being a provider. And so I just need to continue to do my part and discern as best I can. But ultimately, like a big area for me in having faith is finances, and knowing that, okay, God is a provider. And so even in this new season with where the economic system might be going, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. And I think God wants us to be prepared for, but also trusting still that he's a provider.
I think it's good. Like as you were talking, it's that same, it's the same tension we talk about in other aspects, like, you know, the grace and truth and that thing. It's the stick your head in the sand or turn your back to it and just, I don't want to think about it, versus I want total control and it's going to consume me and my thoughts all the time. Neither of those is good, but it's somewhere in between. And I think it's a little different for each person, and like knowing their temperament, you kind of have to navigate through that. But regardless, you have to do it with the Lord and with his presence. Otherwise, it's going to still come from your flesh, and it's going to have other avenues where it's not going to be healthy. So I think that's spot on. Yeah, I just commented. Damon's nodding to me. I'm like, yeah.
I don't really have anywhere else I'm feeling like we need to go necessarily. That's why. So I thought you would keep going.
I had another thought, but it escaped me for a second.
I guess I could share a little bit too, coming from the side of, you know, as a church, we have a business, and one of the things that for myself as being responsible for helping to run it is, you know, some of the ways that the economy has impacted how we run our business, right? And just even thinking, you know, before COVID, there was a certain price that a lot of people were comfortable with purchasing t-shirts for. And then because of some of the things that happened during COVID, pricing went way up, right? And so it's like, how do we, you know, as a business owner, being the church, how do we provide our customers with a quality product, but also take care of the people that are working, you know, and without the sticker shock of like, oh, you know, something that used to be like a $5 t-shirt is now like $8. Like, how did it go up so fast? But, you know, and so there was tension in recognizing that, oh, things are changing, and it's changing pretty quickly too, right? And so as a church, and, you know, not trying to be greedy or not trying to, you know, we got to make the top dollar. It's like, how do we, you know, balance that out and being able to help our employees to make sure that they have, you know, what they need, but then also not wanting to, you know, gouge our customers at the same time. So just trying to find that, that balance between the two, but recognizing, wow, the direction of our system is changing quickly. And you feel it as a business owner that cares. You know, there's some business owners or businesses that are so big that it's just about the bottom line. But, you know, as a small business who cares about the employees and who cares about the relationships with the customers, there is a balance of trying to, you know, make it work for everybody and trying, but at the same time recognizing, wow, things are changing and they're changing really quickly. And then even some of it is not just the value of the dollar, but then it's also different policies that are being put in place that affect you too, right? And so how do we navigate those policies at the same time and, you know, trying to provide opportunities for people? Like, we've had a few different internships that we've tried to, you know, not just make it about the work, but also trying to, Brett's done a great job of really pouring into those guys that have come in for internships and really trying to help mold them, develop them as people, as well as, you know, giving them some opportunities to make some money too. But just recognizing that some of the ways that policies are run or different financial, the fiscal policies that our government has, they make impacts. And how do we navigate that from a, you know, healthy perspective, from a balanced perspective, and from a godly perspective at the same time too. And so those are some of the tensions and the balances that we've been trying to navigate in running the business over the years as things have changed really quickly.
Okay. I remembered my other thoughts. It's a little bit disconnected from that, but it has to do with, well, we used the word crisis in the title, right? Of like a financial crisis. And I could imagine people saying, well, how do you know there's going to be a crisis? What is it? What does it look like? Really, it's kind of so-called like reading the tea leaves. You kind of see the signs of what's happening, but you also look back at past financial systems. Like, they go through cycles, and they come, they get strong, but then they fall apart at some point because there's just weaknesses in the way they are. I don't want to get into the economic side of it, but if you go dig into history, it happens. And the things that are happening right now, the high debt, you know, the constant pressures with inflation, and there's other things. There's signs for our economic model coming towards the end of its life cycle. So Barry alluded to this. We don't know what it's going to be like as we make some transitions. Is it going to be pretty smooth and not going to be that much, not going to feel that difficult. It's possible. I mean, that's one end where it's fairly smooth. I still think there's going to be some, let's say, transition pains. Or is it going to be like just like the worst imaginable thing? I think it's somewhere in between, but I don't know where it's going to be. And I think obviously none of us know that. But what we're seeing is we're in a significant time in our history of our financial model that we need to be aware of and start making plans like, okay, things aren't just going to stay on the status quo. They can't. I mean, we showed some of those models of the purchasing power of the dollar, the purchasing prices or the price of houses compared to the purchasing price or purchasing power people have. I mean, there's things like those things are just going to keep getting wider and wider. And that's just kind of the way the system's structured, and it's just going to keep magnifying it. So we have to be aware of it, and we all can choose to do something, do nothing. You know, we have choices, but if we aren't aware it's coming, that's one thing. But now that we're making people, we're trying to help bring awareness. And mm-hmm. as we do that, we all have our own choices of what we want to do with it. We can, like Damon, you can take it and you can run with it more and dig into it. Brett, you could say, no, I'm good. I'm just going to trust the way the system is, and I don't think it's going to be that bad, and I'll deal with it accordingly. And I could be somewhere in the middle. But we want to make sure people understand it's not just some like conspiracy theory. I know that term gets thrown out a lot, but there's definitely signs that there's transitions happening. They're not hidden. I mean, we talked a little bit about the digital currency, digital financial, you know, crypto, that kind of stuff. There's things in Congress right now that they're voting on to try to stabilize that and try to regulate it. Okay, they wouldn't be doing that if that wasn't the way they want to go, right? So there's just, you kind of read between some of the lines, but that could be a great exit out of the current system. But in the meantime, there's going to be some pain to deal with, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to look like? I don't know. But we got to do our best to kind of put ourselves in position to weather that as a church community, as a Christian community, as households. And that's what we want people to be aware of and to kind of, hey, what's the Lord calling me to do with what he's entrusted to me? How can I steward what he's given to me? And that's all we want. We want people mm-hmm. to be honest with themselves and with the Lord and say, God, like, what are you calling me to do? And if he calls you to whatever level it is, like, there's no judgment. There's no, mm-hmm. We have to convince you to do a certain thing, but just take an honest assessment of where you're at and really your heart. Like Brett, you were sharing too of how money kind of got a hold of you at that. And I've gone through stages like that too, and it's hard. And we need each other to keep our hearts pure in this time, but have an honest view of like, hey God, where have I been viewing my wealth, my finances, what you've given to me in a steward manner, or am I treating it more as an owner and doing with it what I want to do? And then from there, you know, like, okay, well, how can I prepare in a sense? Hey, honestly, if nothing ever happened and it wasn't a crisis, perfect. I think you're probably doing some great financial stewardship principles anyways. I don't think that's going to be the scenario. I think there's going to be some pain coming. But at minimum, you know, how can you at least, you know, make sure your view of what God's entrusted you is good?
Yeah, a couple things that kind of came to mind as you're talking. Well, one, I feel like change is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Right, like change is going to happen. Obviously, we don't know all the details of when or how, but it's going to happen. I mean, last night I got to go to the Dodger game, and I just noticed a couple people.
That was a good game, too.
I know. Finally gave Yamamoto some run support. But I noticed that, like, you know, people still will buy those ticket things or whatever, or when the concession guys come up, then the guy, people will pull out cash, and they say, oh, we don't take cash. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if you don't think that's a change, like, how long ago were you able to just pull out a $5 bill or a couple bucks and buy cotton candy? Or, you know, like, how many places are going contactless payment and no cash? And so it's like, change is already happening.
I mean, at the Dodger game, you used to not be able to use your card
yeah.
for that type of stuff, right?
And so it's like, okay, like, even though it may be something that we're used to now, it doesn't mean that change hasn't happened and isn't happening, right? Yeah. Even though we're accustomed to it and we have Apple Pay and credit cards on our phone and we can just tap, it's like, no, that's a lot different. That's a lot different. And so change is coming. Yeah, again, how fast or to what degree, we don't know. But I think to just, I don't want to say wrap your head around that, but also just understand like, okay, it is because it is happening and it's going to come. That's one thing. And then I think the second thing too is, I know it can feel tricky talking about finances. Okay, how do we have God into it? How do we talk about it where it's not like we're telling people what to do or giving advice? All those nuances of things. But I think as you're talking, like, the Lord wants us to be wise. And part of wisdom is not trying to be like a fortune teller, but it is to prepare. God wants us to prepare, and specifically because we are talking about finances, this is an area where he does want us to be wise too. He doesn't want us to just gamble our money away. He doesn't want us to spend recklessly. Like, those are all things that are godly financial principles. And so in another way, this is just preparing. Just like God wants us to maintain healthy bodies, he wants us to prepare spiritually. This is just another avenue. It just feels a little, I don't know, stickier or trickier because it comes with like the means and the ways that we live, and it comes to money, it can kind of feel weird. But I think overall, it's a call to try to be wise in this area, so that if or when things do change, we're still in a place where we are aligned with the Lord in our preparation and doing what he's calling us to. If you just want to be ignorant about it, it's kind of like, well, okay, then what do you expect? You know, like, I feel like your expectation to thrive or do well is like not reasonable, or it's a little bit unrealistic to think that, okay, if I just do nothing, everything will just be fine, so to say. And so, I don't mean to sound harsh or anything, but it's more just like, if God is calling us and raising up a level of awareness and wisdom, this is part of an avenue in stepping into that.
No, it's good. And I love the Dodger analogy. I'm going to ask for Damon to share about the Clippers arena too. But the reason why is because I think we need to look at the good and the bad, right? So there's convenience, there's speed, there's efficiency. And that stuff has a place, and it's worthwhile. But then at what point does it become a negative or a detriment or a control thing? You know, I want to ask Damon about the Clippers arena, because then it's also, I want you to talk, even we just talked the other day about China and their social credit system, right? Because they're not that far apart, but I don't think people can sometimes see how close they're related, right?
All right. So yes, I am a Clipper fan. And yes, I do think the Clippers have the most state-of-the-art arena in the NBA. But at the same time, I'm not sure if I will ever go there.
Well, they better. It's brand new. If they built a brand new thing and it wasn't,
and their owner is like a tech billionaire. So,
so, you know, one of the things that they joke about is that they have the most toilets per seat in the world.
So that kind of stuff's good.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is good because, you know, you don't want to be waiting in line at the bathroom when you want to watch the game. But some of the other features that they kind of tout at this arena are things like, you know, they want to make it so convenient for you to purchase concessions that you can just walk up and grab the concession and it's charged to your card. So how do they do that? They use biometric data, so meaning they have facial recognition, so they can see your face and it's attached to your credit card. So all you have to do is walk up, grab what you want, and sit down.
So wait, so all you do is pull your ski mask down, grab it, and then go, and you're good?
So in order to do that, you have to pre-register your face onto their app that you have to have, and you have to load up your credit card so that it's attached to the... So just a lot of information that they're gathering from you that they have on you. And so that you can have that convenience.
It's almost like we need the Behind Enemy's Line, Behind Enemy Lines music right there. Dun, dun, dun.
And so for me, it's like, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with them having that much information and tying my face to my credit card. That seems like a stretch to me. So, you know, another thing that they tout, which I, you know, sounds kind of cool on the outside is, okay, so they have this section called the wall, right? There's no breaks. It's like this straight up section where it's all seats, right? And it's right behind the basket so that, you know, when your team is shooting free throws, you know, you're, all your fans are right there cheering. But when it's the other team, they're all cheering against them and they're like trying to distract them.
Yeah.
Super cool concept. But then they said, if you are wearing, you know, another team's jersey, you can't sit there anymore, right? So it's a, there is a level of control in that, that they can tie your seat, that ticket, to what you're wearing, and they can ask you to leave based on what you're wearing. So that's one of the things that you have to agree to in order to sit in that section. You have to agree that you're going to wear a Clipper jersey or something Clippers, and you cannot wear, like, you know, back in the day, I used to go to a Clipper game, and if they play the Lakers, it's 75% Laker jerseys and, you know, 25% Clipper jerseys. And so, you know, I was one of the few that would be wearing the Clipper jersey. But to sit in that section at that arena, you cannot wear the Laker jersey in that section or you're asked to leave. That's something that you had to agree beforehand. And so it just, you know, there are some flags there for me in the level of control that they have and that we're actually – not even that they have, but that we're giving to them, right? We're giving them access to our credit card and tying it to our face. I'm giving them, you know, the opportunity to say, oh, you're wearing the wrong shirt. You have to leave, right? So it's not that I'm, not that they're, you know, enforcing control. It's like I'm giving up control of those things to them. I don't know if I'm ready for that. And I'm not sure if I'll ever be ready for that.
Right.
But just... those are some of the things that I was thinking about. And, you know, Kyle had mentioned relating it to China's social credit score. So in China, one of the things that they've done with their currency, and because it's digital and they've gone to a digital yuan or I don't
remember. Yeah.
They've gone to a digital format of currency is that, you know, they have a social credit score. So there are certain things that people can do that will lower your credit score. So, for example, if you purchase too many packs of cigarettes or if you purchase too much alcohol or if you do something that society seems as negative, it will lower your social credit rating.
Talking bad about the government, jaywalking, things like that.
Yeah. So if you get caught doing any of those things, it lowers your social credit score. And then because of the control that they have over your money, they can say, okay, you're not allowed to buy XYZ. So you're not free to use your money how you want to use it. You have to use it in the way that the government allows you to use it because of the control that they have because it's digital and it's not cash anymore.
Aren't allowed to travel certain places. I mean, they can do all kinds of different restrictions.
So that's one of the advantages in, you know, a society that has cash is that it's anonymous, right? Like you can use your cash to buy. They don't, you know, other than alcohol or things like that, we don't need to show an identification to purchase something with cash.
Right,
where if it becomes digital, your identity is tied to your payments.
Right.
And so those are just some of the things to think about. And it's actually being implemented in China right now. And it's coming to places like, you know, Intuit Dome and things like that. And it's moving in that direction. So just things to be aware of that's actually, you know, happening in our world that we can interact with on a regular basis that... these are some of the technologies and the things that are actually being implemented right now.
Yeah, and you know, in a healthy society, there's regulations. The regulations are guardrails, and if they're done well, and they can keep technology like that in a healthy place where you get the benefits of them, but the cost or the negative side can be very minimized or even eliminated. The unfortunate thing is that as humans, we, you know, people gravitate towards control, greed, power, things like that. And you can take those regulations and find loopholes, or you can write them in a way even that's going to benefit a certain segment. So all of this stuff, like this, we're moving towards hyper-digitization of everything. It has a lot of benefits, has a lot of speed, efficiency. There's a lot of great things to it. the technology itself again isn't the bad part. It's how, what kind of boundaries can we put on it, and who's going to be the ones to enforce those and keep them more neutral than not neutral. Then I want to say negative, but I mean they can be positive too. But that really comes down to trust, and that's what I was talking a lot about at the meeting on Sunday too. The financial systems, all these systems, they really are dependent on trust. If people don't trust in them, they fall apart. So whether it's the finance part or whether it's, you know, modernization of digitizing things, if people stop trusting the stuff they have at the Intuit Dome, they're going to have issues. The people aren't going to be going there anymore. They're going to have to make adjustments. But as long as people trust in it and they're willing to give, like you said, give them their access that into their lives, into their, you know, yeah, basically into their lives, then they'll keep increasing it. They'll keep pushing it.
Oh, I already have a friend who has been there who said he'll probably never go back because they messed up on a few of his transactions. And it's like, this is not working. I don't feel comfortable with this anymore. Mm. He's like, I'm not going to go back. So,
but I mean, a lot of those things will be ironed out, and they will become more efficient and easy.
But it's just a picture of what you're saying. He doesn't trust them anymore, so he has lost his faith, and he's not going to go back. So, a lot of the systems do rely on trust, and how much trust you put in the system and how it's working.
Yeah. I know this is getting a little long and probably getting tiresome for people to listen to.
Well, that's why it's good that it's a podcast, because people could turn it off whenever they want, and it's not like sitting in front of someone where they're talking and you have feel uncomfortable turning it off.
I thought we could finish this with last thoughts. I'll just start. I think we actually had a staff meeting yesterday where we realized that this is just the first step of having this last meeting this past Sunday, that we will have other things. There's going to be, we don't know the details yet. There's going to be probably other large meetings. There's probably going to be more like seminars. It might be some stuff with small groups where we come and share and they can ask questions. But it was well received. We had about 80 people at the meeting. And we know that people are hungry to have sound advice and sound dialogue about this stuff in a healthy way. So not that we're experts on everything, but we can share what we've come across. So I just wanted to let people know it is in the works that we will be having more things. But if you have suggestions specifically, like, oh, I'd like to see this or that, please reach out and let me know. That's it.
80 does sound a lot better than 79, huh? I'm saying that because originally the count was 79, but I forgot to put myself on the list.
All right, Brett, last thoughts for you.
Well, you two different, I guess, degrees had your hand in it. So thank you guys for, putting that together and doing the research and stuff, because even in that, it's like, I mean, some of the people maybe naturally look up that stuff, but there's a lot of us who, you know, we're thankful that there's other people who are trying to look out for our best interest as well. And so, I just encourage everyone to watch it just to be open. I think, be open to, I don't want to say you have to be open to, it sounds weird to say be open to the way that the world is changing, but it's more like be open to where things may be going, and then taking a look at how does God want us to respond. And so I think this video and the meeting, while it may not have been direct or specific directions in quote unquote what to do, it is a way to kind of get the gears turning to find how God wants you to respond. I think that's the heart behind it, is what are the ways that God wants us to respond? And if or when this economic change does happen, are we more prepared for it or less prepared for it? Because you don't have to. None of this is a have to.
Yep.
But it is an opportunity to discern and see where God is calling you to respond, mm-hmm. and a chance to have some obedience that hopefully in the long run does pay off. Because yeah, inherently some of this stuff isn't bad. And so where we're left with after the change where God directs us, it's not like some, I don't know, like voodoo, crazy, weird type of thing, but it's just really for our lives and our daily lives and God's continued provision. And so, yeah, just be praying about how God wants you to respond.
Just real quick, before you share your thoughts, Damon, we have had discussions and talked to other people outside our church too about so-called like exiting the system too. Cause like if the system that we switched to, this digital thing, it's good for a while, but then we see it starting to turn to manipulation, control, that kind of thing. What do we do then? How do we get out? So we've had some of those, not something we were able to share on Sunday. It'll be probably in future things where we'll go more of to those types of discussions. So just so people know, like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to be in this new financial system and now I'm stuck there. And if that's the mark of the beast system, then I'm marrying myself to it. So we're not viewing it that way, but we are viewing it like this system is not evil, but at some point it's probably going to be used more for that mentality. What do we do then? How do we get out? Are we sensitive to like the Lord's leading of like, okay, you need to get out. Are we, you know, constantly in that dialogue? So those are some of the thoughts we're having and the discussions. We don't know exactly yet what that is and what it looks like, but it's not like we're going into it blind either, thinking, oh yeah, this is just a good opportunity. Like there's a seriousness to it of like, oh, at some point we feel strongly at some point the Lord's going to say, you need to get out and you need to go to your other plan of what do you do now? So,
you know, one of the themes for this year is City on a Hill and mm-hmm. us as a church stepping into being City on a Hill. And I think that, you know, being prepared spiritually, physically, financially is one way that we can be the city on a hill. When, you know, if there is any type of crisis, mm-hmm. whether it's a personal crisis, whether it's a, you know, physical crisis like an earthquake or, you know, another opportunity for people to be locked at home or things like that, mm-hmm. or, you know, and there's no toilet paper and you got toilet paper, you're the city on a hill for someone that didn't have the toilet paper, right?
Someone on staff will remain nameless. That would be their.
You're getting in trouble for that one. I'm not getting in trouble for that one.
I'm not saying.
But you know, just and so in the sense of the if and when this financial transition happens, this can be an opportunity for us to just to be ahead of the curve and to be able to help talk to other people and share, you know, about the ways that we've been prepared. And so this is another opportunity for us as a church to step into being City on a Hill. Yep. So
good word.
You know, if there's anything that we talked about today or if you were at the meeting and you have other questions that you'd like us to either talk about in person or address on the podcast as well, you know, you can send an email to podcast@catalystchristiancommunity.org and, you know, we'll review your question and see if it's something that we want, you know, would fit more as a one-on-one or in-person type thing or if it's something that we feel like would fit on the podcast and then we can address it too.
That's podcast singular, right?
Yes, podcast, not podcasts, mm-hmm. podcast@catalystchristianmedia.org and we'll try to address it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Ooh, we thought, we don't have like a set agenda. It might not be that long and here we are pushing an hour, so.
Well, I think there's going to end up, just like the meetings, there's probably going to be a part two or part three, four.
No, but I appreciate you sharing your insight, Brett, and just your journey with it too. And yeah, if you're a listener and you feel like, man, I have a different take or I have a journey I want to share with people, then please reach out because I think it's helpful for us to hear, especially on the finance side. Sometimes people have a hard time sharing that because it feels like, I don't know, I'm not supposed to talk about money and church and... But I think it's helpful when we hear, and I've been blessed to be able to discuss this kind of stuff with other people. And it definitely helps to challenge my own views, but then also it gives me courage and strength and hope to be like, okay, I'm not alone doing this.
I'm gonna go rogue real quick.
Oh, yes.
I also want to encourage people, for those of you that maybe finances, for whatever reason, quote unquote, comes easy to you, or you have a passion to like research these things, or you just have knowledge about it, or it comes easy, I would encourage you to let the staff know, let Pastor Barry know too, because to get more information, more perspectives, people's experiences, maybe someone's really understands a lot of it, or has ideas where they feel like God is leading them, I think that could be helpful. And another way that, yeah, maybe you don't have extra funds to help the rest of the body, but if you can bring extra wisdom or avenues or to help people in their process, that's also helping provide for the family. And so if you have that, you talk to Kyle or I guess anybody else on staff.
We already had one that reached out to Pastor
Barry. That's awesome.
Yeah, because we want to be able to shoulder the load as a church and not just feel like the staff or the elders have to do everything. We want to tap into people that have that. So yeah, good word, Brett.
All right, that does it for this episode. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate all you listeners out there. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.